The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the second hour of Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, January 29, 2017. Broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB AM and 95.9 FM. Full boat here, four mics going on tonight. Gary Harding, John Panarese, John Sweeney, and our special guest, Brad Kurtzberg from the Hockey Writers. Good evening, gentlemen, and happy All-Star Game.
Yeah, definitely.
It was an outstanding game today.
It was very exciting today. Very exciting.
Yep. The Metropolitan Division pulls off the win and gets a
million dollars.
Or was it $90,909 or whatever?
Yeah,
you know?
Each.
And that super cool. And Simmons wins the MVP with that super cool truck.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad
one. I like that truck.
Yeah, it was nice.
But in my opinion, that MVP, like we were talking, could have went to four or five guys.
I think Cam Atkinson, a former player of AppleCore in Long Beach. What a tremendous game. Of course, you know, the guy that Mr. Panarese is wearing on his body right now had a nice day. Sorry, Brad, nobody on the Kansas City Scouts played. I'm sorry. If you can see the camera, Brad is obviously wearing a 1975 version of the Kansas City Scouts.
It's awesome.
It is an awesome
jersey.
It's a rad looking jersey, man.
I was going to get Peter McDuffie's number on the back, but you know.
And about two people probably know who that is.
One of them is Mrs. McDuffie.
Exactly. But again, a great weekend. I think the NHL does a very good job of marketing themselves when it comes down to award ceremonies and honoring the past. And they certainly did so this weekend with the top 100 players. And I like the fact that they didn't number them. I like that they kept it to decades. And let everybody else decide in their own mind who is the best and who is not the best. Any shocking from you guys? Anybody you're surprised didn't make it?
I didn't see the overall list, so.
Well, the Islanders had LaFontaine, Potvin,
Trotty, Bossy, and Smith, right?
Yeah. You know who
I'm happy with all those guys. I mean.
Yeah, I was surprised that Gino Malkin didn't make it. And, I mean, he's still playing, but here's a guy who has been a playoff MVP, regular season MVP, perennial all-star. I think they should have found a little
bit.
I agree with you 100%.
I will say going to my days as a 6 and 7 year old kid when I rooted for that other team in New York, I was surprised that Roger Albert didn't make it.
I thought about that too.
All-time, you know, Ranger point scorer.
How many do they have? Like 5 or 6 guys, right?
Well, they had John Rattel, yeah. who, I don't know how much you saw of him, but to me, he was one of probably the most classiest players that ever played the game,
bar none. Skating, great passer.
And a wonderful human being as well.
Yes.
You know, he looked terrible, honestly, but he's 80. He's got to be in his early 80s.
Exactly.
But you know, he was probably, I'd say Gilbert was probably the one big surprise.
Well, you know, again, you go back to the era, and out of all the forwards in the late 60s, early 70s, where do you put Rod Gilbert?
Right.
Yeah.
He was probably just outside. You know, maybe he was 103rd on that, on a list like that.
You know, two-thirds of the goal a game line. Of course, the third one being Vic Hatfield, who had probably 1 year, and that was about it.
Correct.
You know, he went to Pittsburgh and, you know, died an NHL death.
Well, he had a good year or two in Pittsburgh before that, but yeah.
Well, let me ask you this now. Not that, I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, it was in L.A. It was in L.A. And Gretzky's wearing his Kings jersey. But do you think Gretzky should have had his Edmonton Oilers jersey on? Was he wearing it because of the Kings? I think it was because it was L.A.
I think of Gretzky,
I know he played for the Rangers, which really kind of made me sick.
Cup of coffee in St. Louis.
Should have been a Blues jersey, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would have made perfect sense.
If the game was in any other arena besides L.A.,
he would be wearing Edmonton Oilers, without
the
question.
Way it goes.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Because Luke Robitaille was right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Luke Robitaille ran that entire weekend.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those rare guys that he didn't go into the coaching ranks. He didn't go into the management ranks. He went into the business ranks. So he's basically in charge of all the business operations for the LA Kings. So he basically did that entire weekend. And I'll tell you, soup to nuts, the Kings did an absolutely fantastic job. And, you know, and kudos to them for it.
It's a big year for them. 50 years.
Well, yeah. You're talking
all the second six teams, 50 yeah. years, Flyers, Penguins, Blues, Kings. You know,
and the Golden Seal. Sorry.
9 years and out.
Yeah, exactly. But let's, you know, so like I said, it was a great game. Now, obviously, Tuesday, we go back into the second part of the NHL season.
The
I know it's not the halfway point, but we, you know, you're talking now, you know, February 1st is around the corner, 30 days till the trade deadline. So we got about another, say, 15, 16 games left before they decide, what's going on. And, I just want to play you about a quick minute interlude of this little song, and it's going to describe a certain hockey team we like. It's an old song. It goes back to around 1980. From a movie called Xanadu.
Oh.
And right now it just describes how our hockey team is.
Oh, yes, ELO.
Exactly.
I'm alive.
There it is. And you know what? The Islanders are now alive, baby.
We'll use this song for the rest of the season out, and let's see what happens. Let the chips fall and see if the Islanders get there or not. And I think they're going to. And I disagree. Johnny Panarese came out weeks ago and said,
well, this actually, we should dedicate.
The Islanders are making a playoff. They have a great shot. I disagree with them, and I am wrong.
Actually, no, maybe we should just dedicate this song to Derek Wasiak, because we could tell him that the Islanders are alive.
Are alive, my friend.
Right.
Anyway, I just felt we had to do that. Obviously, since the last time we've been on the air, I know you were on the air with Derek, but, you know, obviously the coaching changes made, and I was always one that was trying to look at the glass half full and not half empty, but, you know, it got down to the point at, you know, after that, that Carolina game where they basically disintegrated in the third period, I basically put my hands up and said, this is it. And obviously, the only good thing that came out about this is I'm glad that they didn't fire Jack Capuano in Carolina, and he would have had to do like Gerard Gallant did and try to get a cab back to the airport.
Yeah, that would have been
at least fun. And you know what? And maybe for his own psyche, I think he left on a, you know, he left winning.
Well, they beat out. They go up to Boston
Boston Bruins out.
That's why it's a little confusing what happened, because I read somewhere that it was something to do with Ladd, and Ladd went and complained. And next thing you know, Capuano's gone. Because you come off a shutout, which they played a great game up in Boston. You know, Boston, it was a great game.
But, you know, I think, honestly, you know, just looking at it from a, I guess, a historical standpoint or a student of the game standpoint, I think nature just took its course. You know, Jack did a tremendous job and got a lot more out of some of the guys than you think that many coaches would not have been able to do. But I think it got to that point where it wasn't going to get any better. Well, am I wrong?
Yeah, it's that whole shelf life thing that, you know, some people talk about coaches having a certain period of time before their word starts to fall on deaf ears in the locker room. And you know, regardless of what the team players, I've read a lot of stuff about, they all loved him. But let's face it, the team play just hasn't been living up to, you know, it's just been declining as puck possession and just bonehead mistakes out there.
I think if you look at Jack Capuano's tenure as coach of the Islanders, if you look at where the team was when he took over and where he left the team now, he did his job.
Right.
He more than did his job. Yep. He got them from a team that was the laughing stock or one of the laughing stocks of the league to a team that is a perennial playoff contender. Now, whether he was the guy to make them from a playoff contender to a Stanley Cup contender, the answer apparently is no.
No.
But he got them from a terrible, terrible place to a place where they are at least consistent playoff contenders.
Come on, Brad.
And he was not the right guy to take him to the next
game. Do you remember going to those Scott Gordon press conferences?
I do. And I remember speaking to Bill Guerin and after he left the Islanders and saying, I said to him, did it drive you as crazy as it did us to have you say the same thing loss after loss after loss? Oh, we gave good effort. Oh, I mean, he used to give the same speech after every game. And if you recall that season, who were the goalies? Jan Denis and, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know. The,
I like Curran, yeah.
Yeah, I mean. Mm-hmm. But you know, when Jack Capuano came in, this team was a joke around the league. Like, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah, they were a joke around the league.
And he gave them respectability instantly. The team got a jolt when he came in. He got some of these guys to develop. He gave the team a certain cohesiveness, but he just wasn't the guy to take them to the
And it was a lot of, and again, it was a lot of the guys that came up at that time when he was coaching Bridgeport, the Franz Nielsens, the Kyle Apostles of the world, that he developed in the AHL, and they were coming up at the same time.
Right.
And they became, obviously, bona fide now all-stars as a result. But, you know, it was time for the change, and again, you know, you hear what Doug says. You know, do you think he's going to be, you know, everybody's saying, do you think he's going to stay on as a coach? I don't think he's going to. But you know what? The guys are listening to what he's saying. Okay. And it's if you look at it real closely with a fine tooth comb, it's not a total different team. It's just maybe taking one or two little things and just accentuating it, keeping that center up a little bit further,
right,
in the defensive zone to get the puck back out and moving in offensively.
With Doug Waite, which is a great guy, Stanley Cup, Olympics. He was actually drafted by the Rangers. Loves the Islanders. It depends where this team goes, would be my opinion, if I was Ledecky or Snow, if Snow's still here at the end of the year, if this team makes the playoffs and makes a run in the playoffs again, Doug Waite's your guy. Then the team responded, Ladd loves him, you know, that's the reason why he came here.
Right.
I just want to make a point with Capuano before we go with this. Capuano is the second winningest coach in Island history.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And like you said, he turned this organization around. I know it was that you're basically at a moment now where he's on the treadmill and he's running and it's the going nowhere. But you got to give the guy credit. I say, when he got fired, I was, you know, I was a little upset, but it needed to be done. The team needed to make a move.
Yeah, there's no question.
I don't want to see anybody lose a job.
Yeah, and I hope Cappy gets that job in Vegas. I really do.
So it'll turn up somewhere. Well,
there's an average of, what, 5 or 6 coaches a year to get fired every season in the NHL. So, you know, obviously, there's some other guys that might come in. You know that Capuano has a history with George McPhee because he worked 2 years with under Gar Snow, so that's a possibility as well. You know, but again, he will land on his feet. You know, you heard the comments of on Tuesday when the Columbus came into town. Tortorella absolutely has, I think, this man love affair with with him, and I think it was more again. I think he mentioned the work ethic. You know, all that other stuff. But, you know, I will say this. If I had a dime for every time he either used the word puck luck or battle level
and the DM battle to level. Activate.
Exactly. I think we'd be very rich men right now.
Let me ask you a question, because I heard somebody mention this, that Matt Martin, the reason why Martin actually wanted to leave the Islanders is because Cappy didn't like him fighting. Have you heard anything like this?
It
seems like an off the wall comment to me.
I think the main reason that Matt Martin left is because other teams were willing to pay him a heck of a lot more money than the Islanders were willing to keep him, and rightfully so.
The guy I miss the most is Franz.
Yeah.
Franz Nielsen.
Yeah.
I think that's the guy the Islanders missed the most. If you look at the special team statistics last year versus this year, he's the difference. He's the guy who's missing. He was point man on the power play, and he was one of the top penalty-killing forwards, and the special teams have been a problem most of the year. Consistency has been an issue all year.
Right.
They miss Franz.
Yeah, I mean, penalty-killing has been much better the last 6 weeks. It's improved. It still needs a little bit of work. But, you know, and the thing we were talking about before, and let's bring this part up. You know, you're talking about the salary situation. Brad and I were talking about this before we came on the air. Right now, the Islanders are at a point where they're not bottom feeders in the at the bottom of the salary cap. You know, situations where they were hiring, you know, having phantom players just to make sure they got to the minimum. Now they're at a point where they can start spending money. You know, the question is, obviously, Garth tends to reward the guys that are faithful to him, that are productive, that are good citizens. You know, Casey got a good sized contract. Is Casey Cizikas really a $3 million player? Is Cal Clutterbuck a $3.5 million player? Is Johnny Boychuk obviously a $5 million player? We're seeing the problems now with that. He's going to have 4 more years on his contract. His physical ability, I think, is diminished. I won't say significantly, but a lot enough. You know, is that going to be the possible problem that could take eventually Garth Snow down.
Well, I think you have a philosophical problem here. And you mentioned Cizikas and Clutterbuck, and any Islander fan worth their salt loves those guys. And the team loves those guys.
Yeah.
But when you're in a salary cap era, the most important thing is you have to get value for your contracts. And quite honestly, your bottom six forwards have to be making minimum or close to it, with maybe one exception, because you need to be able to pay your Oposos and your Nielsens. A lot more importantly, your bottom six forwards almost interchangeable. Not quite, but you can't emphasize spending salary cap dollars there.
Right. You wouldn't give $2 million to Matt Martin, but you give $3.5 million to Casey Cizikas.
Yeah, right. And right. Not to knock Casey Cizikas.
No, I love Casey.
It's a question of
hustle,
value.
Yeah.
He gives you everything he's got. And Martin, that's what you want, but, you know.
But Martin led the league, what, 3-4 years in a row on hits? I mean, Martin and
six years,
the different presence that Martin puts in. You know, like Chimera is supposed to be that guy, take a spot, this and that. I mean, it's not Matt Martin. Plus, he's a fan.
I even know when the team was struggling and he wasn't putting points up, I always appreciated Jason Chimera. Following him, watching him in Washington for all those years, I always liked the fact that no matter what the situation, he was a guy that not only gave 110, but I think he gave 120. And he did that with this team, too. Even when they were struggling, even when he was struggling trying to get points on the board or whatever, you never saw a shift where he did not take off.
And I'll say something else, too, and I agree with you on Chimera. Nikolai Kuhlman has done a good job on the fourth line.
Exactly.
He's done a very good job. But here's the scary
part. $4 million fourth liner.
Well, that's what I was about to say. How much salary cap space is the Islanders' fourth forward line taking up this year?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Way too much.
At least $13 million.
Yeah. Okay. I have a deal. Now, here's the question with you guys. Do you think the Islanders should go out and get somebody to make the playoff run, or should they look to get rid of somebody for the future?
I think you've got about 2 weeks to make that determination. I think right now you're a little too early. I think you have to see what happens at the end of this road trip, at the end of this homestand, and they go on the road for 4 or 5 games. If they come out of that 4 or 5 game stretch and go, let's just even say at least 3-1-1. Let's say they come out and get 7 out of 10 points on a road. At that point, because you figure they're probably within 1 or 2 points of that second playoff spot, because guaranteed right now they're not going to make the top three in the division right now, because I think right now where the Rangers are in the fourth spot, which is the first wild card spot, they're on 102 point pace. So right now you're only going to be able to get that one spot, and you got six teams going against it. It's going to take 96, 97 points to do it. So they've got what, 22 of the last 34 are on the road.
That's going to be tough.
The point of the matter is, you got to look at themselves come, say, February 15. If they're within 2 points of that spot, it's interchangeable at this point.
Right.
But Flyers. If they're within 2 points of that wild card spot, and they think they've got the right kind of a deal to do, I'd say do it. But if they're too far back at that point, I think they retool.
But here's the key thing, and you know, we've sort of danced around it a little bit. You want to add a nice piece, you have to get rid of some real salary cap, because this team does not have a lot of wiggle room anymore. It used to be, even last year, they could have traded for Ladd last year at the deadline. He was available as a rental player, and they could have gotten him and easily added him because they had the cap room. They don't have it anymore.
No, right now they're at $71 million. They're 1.7 off the cap.
If they want to add a good piece, someone who's going to give Tavares a line mate who can put the puck in the net, they're going to have to get rid of, they're going to have to shed some salary in order to make that happen.
Well, what if they make a deal, like he says, what if he gets rid of Boychuk? Say they trade Boychuk and put in the deal. They go to the Devils. They get Taylor Hall, which they should have got last year.
No, first of all, that ain't going to happen.
Devils are last place. They should have went to Edmonton last year anyway for the Hamonic deal. They could have got Hall last year. The kid's a young stud.
We were talking about it before, but here's the situation. I got CapFriendly.com. I'm looking at the Islanders thing. Grabowski has got 2 years left, this year and next year. Kuhlman, 4.187 this year and next year. Grabowski's at 5. So, I mean, those are guys you're not going to be able to take off your cap. So that's a problem right there. And then you said, like we said, Casey's 3.35 for the next 5. Clutterbuck is 3.5 for the next 4 after this year. So, you know, it's going to be tough to move things around, but, you know, obviously we were again talking earlier saying about, you know, like a Colorado Avalanche, you know, they've got to be dumping salary at this point. You know, what would it take to get somebody? You're going to have to try to get rid of something, but you're not going to with these contracts, it's going to be very hard to do.
They're going to have to give one of those guys back.
Or eat some of the contract.
Yeah. Or eat somebody else's bad contract. And the problem is, you want to improve your team, but you're going to have to give up a high-salary guy who is going to take your team a step back. You could trade Boychuk all you want, or Letty, or one of the higher-priced players, but you still have to replace them on the ice. And they don't really have guys who are ready to step in and do that.
And remember, you're looking for next year. You've got Thomas Greiss, who's been wonderful, but it's an unrestricted free agent. Berube, the backup, hasn't done much, but has done well when he's been there, is a restricted free agent.
He may be more than
that. I mean,
too.
Seidenberg, yeah. Seidenberg's on 1 year. Calvin DeHaan is an RFA next year.
So he might end up going, right?
You don't know. I mean, those are the possibilities. Yes, you got a guy on the last year of his contract, and again, what you've heard from the Colorado media is that they're going to want a top four defenseman. They're going to want a stud,
stud prospect,
and a number one.
Too high.
But when you think about it, okay, you look at the situation. Yeah, obviously, you're not going to get rid of a Boychuk or Letty. We know that. But DeHaan's on the last year of a deal. That's a possibility. You look at what you got down in Bridgeport. Bridgeport's been doing incredibly well. You got a possible one or two guys there, and if you put in maybe a second or something like that and do something or else around, you could get that possible player.
Look, it depends who else steps up. If you recall the whole mess with Thomas Vanek and the Islanders, what a team thinks they're going to get for a player and what they're actually going to be offered when push comes to shove at the trade deadline are not always the same thing.
That's absolutely true.
Colorado can absolutely ask for a stud prospect, a top four defenseman, and a number one pick. That doesn't mean they're going to get it.
Well, who would you get back from Colorado anyway? Who are you looking at?
Matt Duchene.
Matt Duchene.
Matt Duchene and Landeskog are on the
but
board.
I would take Duchene over Landeskog.
Oh, so would I.
Duchene's good friend, Tavares.
But I would take either one.
Either one would be, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's right up your alley as far as what you need.
Well, the Vanek thing was a horrible trade. He made a...
That was one of...
He took a gamble.
A lot of these...
Niederreiter and Clutterbuck. I mean, that's another one that you're giving up. But there was problems there. But Clutterbuck's been...
I've been saying this as long as I've been on the air, that Garsonova is the type of person that he wants quality people in the room and on the ice and off the ice. And if you make comments like Niederreiter did, you're gone.
But he wanted to play. That's the reason what he wanted to do.
Right. But, so that's the situation. So, I mean...
He's a good young talent. But, hey, look, Clutterbuck is fine for that fourth... Last year, that fourth line was... phenomenal the last couple of years, last 2 years that he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's just, you know, they have some, but let's see what happens.
The Islanders are alive.
That's
yes.
It.
And 2 weeks ago, we weren't saying
that. No, we weren't saying at all.
You know.
2 weeks ago, me and John were talking. Hockey wasn't even exciting for us, right, John?
Yep.
Because if the Islanders weren't doing anything, and I'm, you know, like, and then the Rangers were on fire doing what they were doing a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, this is making me sick.
Yeah, and so I'm sure some Ranger fan buddy of yours was just giving you nothing but grief.
the evil empire.
The evil empire. The hockey.
But look, let's also recognize one other thing. I love the way Doug Wade is handling this situation.
Exactly.
He's been a gentleman toward Capuano. He understands that he may not have this job beyond this year. He's been good with management, and he's been great in that locker room. So as far as Doug Wade is concerned...
And the guys will go to the Wall Farm.
They will. Now, look, it's been five games. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to say he's the next Toe Blake, okay? But at the same time, I need to see... After 25 games where he's at, but so far he's handled this.
You
very,
know Toe
very
Blake?
Well. Old time hockey.
Buy a soda after the game. But so here we, like I said, here we are. Tuesday, the Washington Capitals come into the Barclays Center against hopefully a team that's had, what, three extended breaks in the last 5 weeks?
Yeah, this is just killing us.
I mean, yeah, there are. All the other, you know, teams are going to have that five-day break from now until the end of February. It just, the timing just really blew that we had to have it right then and there, have another break with Christmas, then that break, then the All-Star break. But I will say one thing. Probably the Islanders are probably the tannest team in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
But I think it's – Brian, is it time for a break? Yeah, I think we're going to take a couple minutes of a break here. And when we come back, we'll finish up the hockey talk, and then we'll talk about that that football game that's happening next Sunday.
Yeah,
you know
little,
about that
football
game?
That little football game, that little one.
Yeah, that little thing over in Houston. Yeah. So we'll talk about some Super Bowl 51 coming. This is Gary, John, and Brad on Sports Talk 1240, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, guys, for the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240. And by the way, the score is AFC 14, NFC 7 for anybody that really cares. I don't think the four people in this room really care about the Pro Bowl right now.
I don't think anybody tackles in these games anyway.
By the way, if you get a chance, take a look at these uniforms. They are butt ugly. It's like the all red against the all blue.
Are they the Thursday night color? What are they called? The color burst?
The color burst.
Oh, gosh. Dougie Baldwin got a 47-yard touchdown. Now, where's this game? In Miami, right?
No, it's in Orlando.
Orlando.
It's at the Citrus Bowl in Orlando.
I liked it better when they were playing. They're doing the thing in Hawaii.
It just makes no sense that they do this the week before the Super Bowl. The two Super Bowl teams don't even have the ability to send guys to it.
Right.
Yeah, but after you just won the Super Bowl, Sean, would you want? I mean, yeah, you might want to go to Hawaii, but would you want to play a football game after you just won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's true. I guess there's no way around that.
Can't call the Pro Bowl a football game.
No,
really can't.
No, Brad and I were talking about this in the car, and we should get into it a little bit. I mean, obviously. Of the four majors, obviously baseball to me, the baseball All-Star game is the closest to a regular baseball game than any of the other.
Because it had meaning to it, because the winner gets home
forget,
field.
Forget that stupid. That was the most stupidest thing in the world.
Right.
I'm talking about the actual physical game itself. You got pitchers that are pitching 95 miles an hour. You've got situations in an All-Star game that you have in every game of baseball. It doesn't change the fact of what you got to do. You still got to hit the ball. You still got to pitch the ball. You got to field the ball. Nothing changes in that. Obviously, the All-Star games in the past in the NHL were horrible with those 16-14 games. Now, with the advent of this 3-on-3, I think it's a great concept. You got guys, I mean, yes, it is a little bit of show-offmanship, but if we notice that, then that last game when the Metropolitan beat the Pacific, that was a good, solid 3-on-3 game.
Yes. It wasn't hockey, but it was entertaining.
Right, but
it was entertaining. It was very entertaining.
Yeah.
But it was
and you get
good.
To see the great stars of great game that we love.
Now, look, I mean, I said this to Brad. when we drove in. Now, my wife knows her hockey. You know, she's not the greatest hockey fan, but she knows her game well. And she's sitting watching the first Metropolitan game, and I can't remember who it was that scored for the Atlantic Division. But basically, Sidney Crosby didn't even go near the guy, and he just came in and just pushed it right past Holtby. And she's like, can he actually hit somebody? And she's screaming at the TV. And then in the second game, a puck went into the corner, and it was Jeff Carter, and I noticed that, that Sidney came into him, didn't make a full check on him, but he pressed him against the boards, was trying to stick handle, you know, get the puck out of the corner and work it out of the zone. And she goes, well, it's about time. You know, so, obviously you have that situation. Basketball, forget it. It's just the guys on 125th Street, you know, just having like a slam dunk contest. You know, you don't see a game over 110, but meanwhile the score is 165, 154.
It's playground basketball.
It's playground basketball.
It's the best players in the world playing playground basketball.
Now tell me, John.
Yes.
You follow sports a lot, and I know how passionate you are. Were you very excited about that drone challenge that they had with the football skills competition where they were dropping balls from three stories high and they had to catch it?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad you answered it honestly.
I just want to say one thing before we go any further, and I know we're talking a little different thing. This week we had a great day. The Islanders, New York Islanders Booster Club is run by Gary's beautiful wife, Claire. Gary's always been vice president, and Gary goes
former president.
President. And let me just tell you, I had Ledecky, this owner, did a wonderful job for all of us. John Panarese was there. I was there. Gary was there. We took a bus in there, and apparently the bus, it was a decent bus ride. It was raining out. It was this and that. Ledecky said, you know what, guys? We're going to feed the whole, all 80 of you guys at the 40-40 club. Give everybody a wristband. As much as you can eat, go up there. Beautiful game.
Some of us really took advantage of that.
Yeah, she did.
I was eating for 2 days, actually.
We had lower bowl seats.
Yeah.
You know, some people didn't go to their seats, but that's okay.
We didn't go to our seats.
We stayed there for the first and second period, basically.
We just sat in the 40-40 club.
But then also what he did, I'll actually just take it up one step further, is he split us into three pieces, three groups, and each group got to spend a period in John Ledecky's owner suite.
Ledecky with photos of John Ledecky.
Yeah, he was nothing but
class. But awesome guy.
You know, you hope that your team has an owner like John Ledecky.
And Ledecky, you could see he wants to win. He was all nervous. The Islanders are up 4-1, and he's still with a minute left, and he's bouncing around going,
he was pacing.
I can't look, guys. I'm glad I'm here with you. I don't want to look because we're going to start. I was like, you're up by three goals with a minute left.
I'm working on getting Mr. Ledecky to come on the show next month.
I have to say, out of all the years I've been in the Booster Club, you could wrap up 5-10 years of great times in the Booster Club. This was the best that we had, and I agree, right, Johnny? Wasn't it great?
Just going one step further on this, this was not told to my wife and I until 10 o'clock that morning. So we had no idea. We thought we were just going to the game. We had lower bowl seats. Everything was great. But 10 o'clock, due to a little scheduling conflict or a problem, he says, well, to make up for it, let's put you in the 40-40 club and you get to sit in the owner's box. So, I mean, it was a treat for me as well. You know, I mean, you know, I've done, you know, a lot of, you know, things, you know, following this team in 25 different cities. I've had the honor of being able to work in the press box, work with this guy in the Kansas City Scouts jersey for a number of years. I've had a lot of fun doing that, but this was probably one of the highlights, true of my fandom. And, you know, again, I honestly can't thank John Ledecky and all the staff at the New York Islander offices and the Barclays Center for giving us a wonderful night.
It was awesome.
Ledecky did a beautiful job. I can't praise him enough. Everybody on the bus that I was on with John was saying they had one of the greatest times they had in the game. Also Claire and Gary. I mean, I give you guys
all the stress. I'm sure it was.
You guys did a wonderful job.
Yeah, well, we...
Even though Claire is a big Josh Bailey fan, and we actually praise Bailey on the way home, just for Claire, to make her happy. Because you know how I feel about Josh, but he's having a great year this year.
Josh is, we didn't talk about him at all.
He's not having a great year. He's having a good year this year.
He's having a very good year.
He's probably the most consistent Islander forward offensively and defensively from the gate to the present.
This year?
Yes.
I think so, without question. I honestly really feel because of the fact that he's had to, you know, with Kyle gone, with Franzi gone, he's had to step up, and he knew he had to, you know, because there's no way around, you know, what his role was going to have to be, and he's done specifically just that. Anywho, so let's change gears. Obviously, we know we have a football game coming up in about a week's time. The New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
A week from today.
A week from tonight, they will be playing at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. And I think both teams arrived there. I think they're arriving there tonight, aren't they?
Atlanta arrived earlier today.
I think New England's arriving tonight or tomorrow morning. And the fun begins, where everything will be scrutinized. Wouldn't you? You know, would you ever want to do? You know, being you. With the media, Brad, would you ever want to do a media day at a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. It would be fun to do one. I don't know. I think the second or third time it may get a little thin, but it would be fun to do one.
But just the fact, you know, that you have obviously, you know, the serious, you know, national TV guys. You got your local guys. You get these other guys. And then you get these, like, people from South America wearing those, you know, provocative outfits and asking a question and not even knowing what football really is. I'm sure it's a spectacle. I mean, but obviously they got to deal with all that stuff, and then obviously the big game is coming. John Panarese here, John Sweeney, big Jet fans. You know, I'm myself as well, being in pain, and we do have to extend our sympathies to Brad, because Brad is a huge, 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 huge Green Bay Packer fan.
Green Bay Packers had a decent, very good year. I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl this year. I really did.
We had a chance going into that Atlanta game, but it was over quickly.
The beginning of the year with Green Bay, I figured they finished it done. I don't know what happened to this team. They turned it around. I thought they were one of the hottest teams going in. And I said, you know what? All four of those teams, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Atlanta, and the Pats, they're like the New York Rangers in my eyes.
Does it hurt that much to say the name?
Yeah. But any four of those teams would have been a great Super Bowl. But, you know, Green Bay had a great year. I think next year they're going to be better. That kid Montgomery came out running. They lost their star running back. And I think they're going to, they won two games without Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
And he played hurt that last game. I mean, they got a good team. Anytime Aaron Rodgers has the ball in his hand, he's like Brady. They can win that game.
I mean, he made that remark 6 weeks into the season. He felt the team can go all the way out and get to the playoffs, and they did just that. And you know, there's a lot of hope for people in Green Bay. That's for sure.
No, I know. Like my wife's like a so-so fan of the things, but we do a couple of Super Bowl boxes, so everybody's like, the Super Bowl Sunday is like a big, like kind of like Christmas for a lot of people.
It's a holiday.
They want to see if their numbers come in. Half of the people are watching, okay, worried about the halftime
show. That's
all
I'm worried about is my numbers.
Your numbers. Who's going to be in the halftime show? How cool are the commercials going to be? And will my numbers come in? Half of the people don't care who wins or loses. With my heart, wants Atlanta to win because they haven't won. But give Belichick 2 weeks with any team, Brady's winning his fifth Super Bowl in my eyes.
Yeah, again, you can hate New England the way we do as Jet fans,
right?
But you know, it has to be said for Bill Belichick that he's just a master.
He
just finds a way. You know, they'll just get all together, look at the film, and say, okay, this is the way we do this, and he gets the guys to believe in it. And once that's done, it's game over. But
but look at this. Like, he's got these receivers. This guy Hogan played lacrosse, and then where do these guys come from? Guys catching 40, 50-yard touchdowns. You know, I mean, they come up with these guys. They're not flashy. It's Brady's.
But, I mean, you think about it. I mean, New England doesn't – obviously, we all know about the offensive exploits of everything. New England's got a decent defense. They're not the greatest defense, but they're a good defense. But I don't think they faced an offense all year like what Atlanta can put up. And, again, you know, we've seen the maturation of Ryan. He's been, you know, obviously going up, 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 up. And this year, obviously, had a wonderful season. And he's getting – help, not necessarily from the guy. You know, first thing you say is Julio Jones, but he, to me, there's been games where he's been completely gone,
and he's banged up right now.
Banged up, yeah. Completely invisible, and he's getting contributions from all these other guys. I mean, the numbers that he's putting, I mean, that Atlanta put up all year is astounding.
And, like, and you look at two running backs, similar running styles, but two great running backs, interchangeable, get them in and out. Don't get tired. Atlanta can move the ball on the ground. Yep. They can move the ball deep. They can pass right. It short.
I mean, that Gabriel guy's fast and quick.
Oh yeah,
screen pass to him. Coleman and Freeman, they complement each other. Those two running backs. It's going to be very interesting. Belichick's also though. They have Blunt and they have the White, the receiver out of the backfield, another running back, and I can't think of the other guy. But and you don't forget the Patriots lost what, two games all year, right? Brady got suspended the first four games, and now Gronk has been out, and they're still winning. They're still crushing teams. They crushed Pittsburgh.
All right, guys. Are you sitting down?
Do I have a choice?
Yeah, you got a choice.
Is Darth Vader on the line?
Yeah, I think we got
one. Are you over the Patriots winning another Super Bowl, Sweeney? Is that your problem?
Well, I'm saying.
Aren't you used to it by now? Like, does it even matter? Does it really matter at all?
Look, here's the deal. Belichick with 2 weeks, it's going to be impossible. Look, my heart goes for the Dirty Bird. I'm doing the Dirty Bird dance right now, if you can see me. But I can't see.
Good thing. Good thing you're not seeing it, Waz.
I'll root for him, Matt Ryan. I'd like to see him win.
But what do you
think? I like to stick in a couple of receivers, but like linebackers, and he had a skilled running back. They're young on defense.
I mean,
if you play the way they did against the Packers, they'll have a chance. But listen, the Patriots, their defense is as good as when they first started winning Super Bowl. So I wouldn't hold my breath. I got to be honest with you guys, especially you, John. You're a diehard Jet fan. The only thing that bothers me about the Patriots, because I've resigned myself to the fact that they've just dominated the division for almost two full decades. They're a legendary team like the Niners of the 80s into the 90s. The only thing that bothers me is that their fans act like they're victims of some crime when, you know, they just got caught cheating a couple times and they don't want to take their medicine and move on. You know, it's not like when the Olympians get caught and they take their gold medals back. Nobody took their trophies back. So that's the only thing that really bothers me without getting into it too much. Because I know you three guys are over there celebrating exiting last place or you're plotting your playoff push for the NHL with your Islanders. And everyone's a big Doug Wade fan, so I know what you really focus on.
Everybody is a Doug Wade fan. You're right about that. He was, you know, he was drafted by your evil team too, by the way. You already know that.
The evil empire.
Let this play.
Since when is a team that only has one Stanley Cup in my life? Since when is a team that doesn't have a lot of titles? It doesn't dominate its league. Since when are they?
You know why they're the evil empire? Mostly because you got fans like you is the reason why.
I wouldn't even get involved in a Ranger Islander squabble.
You can't.
Bothering me constantly on the phone.
19 straight playoff. You can't. You have nothing to say. It's over.
I think what bothers you is that you guys are a forgotten Darth Vader of
no, the actually,
NFL.
Today at the All-Star game, the very beginning, they
celebrated enough.
No, the very beginning of the All-Star game today, they showed Pod fans skating around holding the cup. The very beginning.
They should.
Okay, so it's not forgotten.
They should celebrate him and Bossy and Trottier and Smith. They should celebrate that constantly.
They were there today. You saw it. That was a good game. Did you like the game today?
I did not watch much of it, but I saw a little bit. It was fun.
What kind of hockey fan are you to watch that game?
They're not playing the game the way it's intended to be played. I think the 3-on-3 is a much better idea, but they should skate. They should skate harder. They should play a little more intensely.
Well, I think
the body check.
I think you're right. I think you're right there. But if you see the third, I mean, last year's All-Star game, the third game was what, 1-0? I think it was a pretty. I think that was probably one of the best games I've seen in a long, long time, and I think actually today's game was final score
5-4. Yeah.
It wasn't indicative. I think they played. You know what? They played a lot harder when it was when they were getting 90,000 $909 or whatever they're getting, because they can't make it $1.1 million for 11 guys and divide it up and make an even $100,000. But that's the NHL.
The only thing I was like, we said, Brad brought up, Malcolm should have been on that ice today, too.
Well, Malcolm was hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was supposed to.
That's why Cam Atkinson replaced him.
Yeah, wasn't he supposed to?
Yeah, Malcolm was hurt.
There were enough All-Stars, participating. I don't think anybody really got,
I thought it was a good game. But
I don't think anybody got slighted in terms of being on the team. I don't necessarily think that McDonough should have been the All-Star from the Rangers. Probably should have been Michael Grabner, because he's had a great
21
point. You're absolutely right.
Michael A.K.
The way they figured on picking a player from each team, they were probably like, okay, we're going to take a defenseman. It's going to be McDonough. So be it. I don't get hung up on that. To me, All-Star games, they're for kids. Baseball, hockey, even football, if you get basketball, it's for kids. I was more excited about it when I was a kid.
But don't you think
they're not going to play the game intensely because they're filthy million-dollar athletes.
I don't want them to, because I don't want my star player getting hurt out there for a meaningless game. It means nothing.
Yeah, but
I don't want that.
But again, we were saying before, Derek, don't you think the baseball is actually the closest to a real baseball game as opposed to the other three?
You can play without running somebody over like Pete Rose.
Ray Fosse, right, in 1971,
You can play the game the way it's played. Bring in a guy, one inning, boom, 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 power closer. You can bring him in as early as you want. One or two innings. It's not like
Look what Jacob DeGrom did last year. He was throwing 97-mile-an-hour BBs on everybody and struck the side out,
Yeah. Baseball is fine. And that's the only one I really sit down and watch. I watched a little bit today. I like the game-winning goal by Simmons. I'm glad they gave him a nice truck.
Was that a nice truck?
That was a sweet ride. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question. You're all together and you're giddy and you're out of last place. Everybody's in a playoff race except for Colorado and Arizona. Need you to tell me, since I know factually Tanner Reese is the only guy that gave them a chance, okay?
Gave who a chance? Gave who are you talking about?
Harding likes to ride the fence. He'll say one way or the other. He'll wait. He's a wait and see guy. Tell me, hold on, here's a question for you three. I want to know what team the Islanders are going to pass.
Flyers.
To make the playoffs.
I just told you, Philly.
All right, what about the other teams in the other division, though? So who's not going to make it, then?
Well, I mean, right now, we're never looking at the standings. We got three or four games in hand on every team.
The Atlantic division is going to go with three teams, and there's going to be five teams.
Didn't they do it last year?
That's what you're saying. That's what will happen, and you guys will pass the Flyers.
Well, the fact is the Islanders have to pass the Flyers, and
Panthers.
The Panthers and they have to finish ahead of Carolina. They have to finish ahead of New Jersey, which shouldn't be too hard. But they have to beat every team that isn't in the top three in the Atlantic Division, and then they have to beat every other team that isn't in the top three.
There's
only one way they're going to make it. They have to win that second wild card.
Yeah, I mean, because right now I think the Rangers are on pace. For 102, I think. So 102 is going to get 102 is going to get.
They're right there. The top four teams are all right there. I mean, Washington's going to win the division.
Of course,
no question.
That's who you're going to play. I got to be honest with you. This whole thing bothers me because I was much happier when the Islanders had that streak of not even winning a playoff series after having all that dominance in the late 70s, early 80s. It's kind of like when the curse of Ruth died with the Red Sox and Yankees. It's almost like that now. Like I can't even get too excited. And the only thing that gets me excited is that Sweeney won't shut his mouth as soon as the Islanders take a lead in the game, or the Rangers are losing a game, or the Islanders won a game.
Why do you think I was much happier a week?
With happy faces on, he's got pictures of popping, holding his rings up. He's got pictures of Billy Smith smiling. He's got pictures of himself taking a picture with Mike Fosse. He's like, oh my god, he actually makes it fun to hate the Islanders. There was one other Islander fan on Long Island that bothers me about the rivalry, except this knucklehead that lives like 3 miles away from me.
I was so much happier a week and a half ago, or 2 weeks ago, when Hank let up 16 goals in three games, and you were ready to jump off the roof of your house, my friend. Ranta was out hurt.
I don't mind you saying how happy you were, but don't sit there and lie like I was ready to break out the tissues and cry because Lundqvist was giving up a ton of goals.
Let's
not lie.
You know what?
You know better than Belichick and those guys.
I will say this. He did come back. He shut out Detroit. He turned it around. He's a Hall of Famer.
Right? Somebody wondered why Billy Smith was in the top 100. But they forgot the fact that he did win the. It doesn't matter if he was just a 300 win goalie in the regular season. The guy won four Stanley Cups, and he was a big part of their last Stanley Cup win against the Oilers team. They thought Gretzky was going to put 10 goals behind them in the first two games alone. So my goalie is the exact opposite of Billy Smith. So that's just the way it is. Don't ever think that I'm going to say anything other than the fact that Lundqvist will be judged in May and June if he gets there. That's when he's judged. I don't care what he does right now. It means nothing. I know he's a Hall of Famer, gold medal, silver, all that crap means nothing to me. Okay? The only thing that means anything is in the playoffs with him. And the same thing with Rick Nash. Rick Nash will be judged in June, May, you know, the whole
which he turns into Casper the Ghost.
What's that?
He turns into Casper the Ghost when the playoffs start. Nash disappears.
You find some nice nicknames every once in a while. You know, you guys know before you hang up with me, because I know you guys are a little
I want to hear your prediction for the Super Bowl.
Even more, you know, when the Islanders win, John's happy. He'll put it on Twitter, you know, he'll text me. But he is much happier, 10 times happier, when the Rangers lose again.
Yes, he is.
I just want to let you guys know.
No, you're right. I hear it. I mean, I keep my mouth shut most of the time.
The only time I
comment is if I'm at a game, maybe make a comment or here or there, but that's about it.
And you notice I stay out of it, Derek, right?
John Pennery's pick said, I was saying the Islanders are done, this and that.
Your stance on the Islanders and Rangers, that's fine.
Derek, you know I said that the Islanders maybe they weren't going to make the playoffs.
No, you said they weren't going to make it.
Okay, but John Pennery did say they had a good shot at making it.
Pennery said that he wasn't going there, but he didn't see a reason why they wouldn't have a chance.
And I was 50-50.
Which is logical, looking at all the other teams. All right,
we got a couple of minutes. Real quick, I want to hear your prediction. Because
we got to do our predictions for the Super Bowl. So Derek, go first.
Oh, for a prediction?
Yeah.
You know, I think logic says that the Patriots will win 35-27.
Okay.
How's that? Is that good enough?
Yep. Does Brady go down as the greatest quarterback of all time?
I will never say the great. You're looking at quarterbacks based on era, and we've talked about this in the past, me and you on the phone, maybe even on air. You're looking at different eras, you know, nowadays with the film breakdown and the coordinators and all the prep and stuff, and you go back to the 70s and before that and the 60s with Bartstarr. I will always say, if I'm looking at a quarterback and how he was coming up through college, how he performed as a pro, the things he had to endure before he got there. You know, like Warren Moon had to go through all the racism, had to play in the CFL before he got to the NFL. But I will always say the greatest quarterback I ever saw, talent-wise, leadership-wise, execution, and maybe even more so being a little held back because his head coach was very, he was a micromanager, Tom Landry. I will always say that Roger Staubach was the greatest quarterback I ever saw.
There you go. I agree with you with that.
I won't disagree.
You got to spend all that time in the military throwing routes. His practice was throwing passes to guys like John Sweeney.
In the army,
he's on an aircraft carrier throwing passes. Pass.
Yeah, he's throwing right. Exactly, that's exactly
what
he's
doing. And he was calling back home for more footballs because his balls were getting blown up with mortars or whatever the hell was going on over there. If you really sit back and do a little research on Roger Staubach, I don't see how anybody wouldn't say this guy was the greatest quarterback that ever lived. So, Sweeney, I don't care what.
I agree with you. I want to hear your prediction.
All right, well, he's the greatest.
All right, we got to go.
We got 3 minutes.
I'm up for Matt Ryan.
Let's go Islanders, Derek.
With the Islanders, I hope they don't make the playoffs. I'm going to be honest about that because they'll just give me something to hold over Sweeney. For the rest of you guys, I hope they do something.
All right, we'll catch you later.
Take it easy, Derek.
All right, guys, you take care.
Guys, we got 3 minutes here. So, all right, you know what? Let's just go around the table. Sweeney, you first.
I said it. Look, give Belichick 2 weeks. I agree with that. I want to see Ryan get his first Super Bowl. We could break it down with that running game. They got a great offense like Gary put before. Brad, you said about the running game and everything. I agree with you. I think it's going to be a good, really good game. Right, I think it's going to come down to the end. I'd say Patriots.
All right. JP.
Same thing. I'd like to see Atlanta win. It's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think it's going to be like the Patriots, like 38-30 or something like that.
Let's hope so.
Brad?
Defense is the difference. Atlanta's defense is pedestrian. New England's defense is pretty good. Both teams have high-powered offense.
Yep.
38-30.
Okay, and I'm gonna pull the upset. I know it's gonna happen, but you know what? I'm gonna say Atlanta's gonna win 31-28. Guys, quick hour, great show. Thanks to Waz for making our night end on such a special way. And thanks to Brian, of course, behind the glass doing everything that he does. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Again, G Harding, WGBB, Hockey Blindside, your Alley Cat 010, and Steels Hockey. That's our Twitter handles. Let us know what's going on. We'll see you next time on Sports Talk 1240. In the words of my friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.